Well, of course, it was due to be Cambridge 105 Radio's Macmillan Coffee Morning on Friday. We love the world's biggest coffee morning, but sadly with our studios locked down, we can't do that. So all week we're concentrating on the work of Macmillan around the east of England. I'm joined on the line by Cathy Cunningham-Elliott. She is the manager of the Macmillan Benefit Advice Service for Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. It's hosted by Suffolk County Council. Cathy, hello there.
Hello, Neil.
So you're an example of the sort of wider work that Macmillan does, and it's not just all about talking to cancer patients about cancer per se.
No, it's not. Macmillan Cancer Support have been funding certainly services like myself, my team, for a number of years so that we can provide specialist benefits advice to cancer patients and their families and carers.
Right, because of course it doesn't always occur to people, but it's the cost of cancer and the loss of income quite often for families. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Cancer patients, the diagnosis is devastating enough, isn't it? And then what with additional costs for things like travelling backwards and forwards to treatment, travelling backwards and forwards to hospital for tests, cost of hospital parking.
Yes.
Additional costs, like the effects of treatment, can affect people in that they feel the cold more, they lose weight, all of those sorts of costs. But also, yes, the big cost is having to take time off of work. Not everybody has got extensive sort of sickness packages with their employers, so often cancer patients, they're taking time off of work, they'll see a huge reduction in their income, and perhaps that of the rest of their family if somebody's also taking time off to look after them. It's a huge financial cost.
And for a lot of people, I can expect that they've never come across the benefits system before. A lot of people, very fortunate, you know, they've got good jobs, they've never come across the benefits system before. And they take one look at it and go, well, where the heck do I start?
You're absolutely right, yes. This might be the first experience people have with the welfare benefit system. And it is hugely complicated. Without a pandemic, people aren't aware of what they might be able to claim. Each benefit's got its own set of rules. Some are based on income and savings. Some are based on national insurance. Some aren't based on any of that, just purely on you've got something that's a long-term condition, so how does that affect you? So it's not surprising that people need support to navigate that. And everybody's situation is different. Everyone's circumstances are very, very different. So it's not easy to say, well, Mrs. Mix down the road gets this and I've got this. And you should never make those comparisons. It's always really important that people get specialist advice that looks at their own individual personal circumstances.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the pandemic word there. I can imagine that not only puts a strain on the benefit system, I guess, at the moment, but how has it changed things for you?
Well, obviously, we normally deliver our service basically from the hospital, so we're seeing clients face-to-face. But obviously, with the hospitals reducing drastically the amount of people that can go in, we've been working remotely at home, and we've been trying to support our clients over the phone. And that's not always easy when you've got a benefit system that has previously been largely based on paper. So my advisors are all working at home and helping clients over the phone with that advice and actually helping fill in the forms over the phone. We've been really, really lucky. The Department for Work and Pensions has responded to providing some electronic systems, and also, you know, my team have been trying to find workarounds for things, just dealing with post. But we've been working really hard, as are lots of other people in this sort of line of work, having to find solutions to trying to support people as best we can over the phone. And we've been able to make electronic claims for benefit, which has been a great help, a real help.
And you deal with Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire. Give me an idea of the number of cases you've got on the go at one time, or is that a real stick a finger in the air?
Well, at the moment, it's a bit difficult because not everyone's going to hospital to be diagnosed. But just as an example, over 2019, 2020, we supported over 2,000 people. And that's just people with cancer. So, and we did generate £7.8 million in additional grants benefits and grants, because we access obviously things like Macmillan grants, but also a range of other forms of financial support. There's a number of different charities out there, benevolent funds that you can help tap into, all of which are designed to ease that financial pressure. Not everyone gets that help, because like I think I hinted, that the benefits system has got a whole range of different complex roles, and some support is based on income and savings and household makeup. And even with a cancer diagnosis, sometimes that's just it's not enough to get people that help, unfortunately, because of those rules. But my team work very, very hard to try and find whatever support is out there. Even blue badges, they can reduce the cost of parking if somebody's entitled to one. But like I said, sometimes the diagnosis isn't enough. It's a matter of how that diagnosis and treatment might affect someone. It might be income. It's a whole range of things, which is why people should get an individual benefit check from one of my advisors.
That's just lovely. It's just another aspect of the work that Macmillan does, and it just means you're just talking to one organisation, which must be a great comfort to people.
We hope so. We do hope so. And the important thing is that people get that timely benefits advice and that timely support when they need it.
Mm. And when their minds are probably not at their clearest.
No. They have a lot to contend with, which is why having someone like my team to identify all of the things that somebody might be entitled to, not just for that cancer patient, for their whole family, because the whole family is affected.
Oh, yes.
And of course, the income drop will be for the household. So we look at everything and try and guide people through that system, navigate them through that system, because it's not simple.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you must be a very long day for you at times. Now, we've been moaning the fact that we can't have our coffee morning, and we do. We love our biggest world's biggest coffee morning. We do. But you're in the same boat, obviously, but you're organising a virtual coffee morning.
We actually have our virtual coffee morning this morning. We're holding it on Microsoft Teams. Other programs are available, but we're holding it through a Microsoft Teams event. I've managed to convince one of our senior managers in social care to be the quizmaster extraordinaire, and I've asked people to send in images of their cake creations for a competition.
Oh, lovely.
So we're doing that through Microsoft. So we can't all do it the way we would normally do. And of course, we've been asking people to donate, because every time people hold a coffee morning, it supports services like ours.
So that's how you would ask people to do. That's how listeners can support you, is hold a virtual coffee morning. You recommend it strongly, dear.
Well, it's got to be worth a try. I'm still working through all the pictures to do a nice presentation of the cake entries.
All right, Kathy. Yeah. Well, it's been lovely to find out about your work, and good luck with your coffee morning. And thanks very much indeed for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thanks. Goodbye.